you want to bring us in? You bring us in. You never bring us in.
Yeah, but that's your thing.
It's not. I mean, not really. Pete did it last week.
It's definitely the thing. This is going to be obviously the intro of the show.
What can I do? I don't have anything. I didn't prepare. I'm not prepared. I'm totally unprepared.
See, this doesn't happen when you and I record. You can tell I'm a serious, prepared professional.
This is a half-assed thing. I mean, we could just go with the standard, and I'll just be like, hey, all right, we're podcasting. Let's kick some dicks.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
I'm really up on this bassoon thing, dude. This is like blowing my mind. I want a bassoon so bad.
Kelly, where do you stand on bassoon as an instrument?
You pretty much need to stand in the middle, because if you go on the edges, it's going to flip up and hit you. So
makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there's got to be, for what we're not allowed to announce it, are we?
No.
Okay. We can't announce it. But what we're working on a project, and I would like to bring a bassoon in now that I know that it's an option.
Who's the world's leading
bassoonist?
Bassooner?
Is that like a crooner?
I need to understand.
Fly me to bassoon.
I got to understand the life path that up until apparently moments ago or a little while ago, you were unaware that a bassoon was an option for someone to play. So how did that door get opened for you?
I'll keep it vague. Looking through a booking agency, and they had it categorized by instrument of artists that they represent. And bassoon was like near the top, as if that was a popular.
It was like top five results. And I'm like,
are you looking for a drummer or bassoon?
Triangle bassoon or xylophone?
Triangle soloists are in hot demand right now.
Xylophonists.
We still haven't done the intro.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a special guest. Not we've heard, because Mike has known you for very long, and Pete is not here. He is out fighting space pirates, if I remember correctly. So he will not be with us for this interview, but we have a special guest, and we're excited to have him on. So please introduce yourself.
Hey everybody, I'm Kelly at KELLYTHUL on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. And I have had the pleasure, in quotes, of working with Mr. Belinsky for the last 10 years on a variety of projects, and podcasts and YouTube video stuff and stuff they got onto Amazon Prime and all that good stuff.
Number one on Amazon. I wouldn't say it, but it seems pertinent, because I would never pat us on the back like that.
What is it?
It seems pertinent that we were number one on Amazon. It's the tour documentary.
Really?
Yeah. Number one on Amazon, number one for rock and alternative, if you want to be technical, but I won't go down that path.
You're super humble. This is like so unlike you.
I am. It's honestly, humility is probably one of my best qualities.
It's legitimately like it's, and we permeate it with the podcast, because we never talk about how great we are.
It's true.
Well, in fairness, I carried the Amazon thing. So
he really did. Yeah. He's in it.
You shouldn't be bragging on it anyway.
Kelly is definitely in it more than I am. But yeah, so you already kind of mentioned we've been working together for 10 years now.
It's a lot of years.
It's a lot. It's a lot, lot.
Does it feel like it passed incredibly quickly for you?
So some days, yes. Other 5-minute stretches seemed very, very long. So it's been a mixed bag.
Well, I think, so we should probably give people like a quick, so for anybody who's listening to Brutal Dudes who isn't familiar with how Kelly and I know each other, how would you do like a quick synopsis of our 10-year relationship?
I would say, Mike, and I think you have mentioned this on Brutal Dudes before, you at the advice of your tax advisor told you to get something, and he was thinking, not a radio station, but you got a radio station. So
it's weird like how you often do. People are not thinking by a radio station.
Yeah. And he had loud and Loaded on Live 365. And
now you can say it.
Now I can say it. I could never say it had the worst time getting that out when we'd introduce a show. I had screwed it up more times than I care to remember. But I've been practicing every night just so the next time the opportunity came, I could say it correctly. Mike was running the show on that. It was mostly heavy metal, and he was looking for some different programming, and he had come across a group of folks that watched the bad movies on Sci-Fi every Saturday night and jumped on Twitter and kind of did the Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing where it was just live tweeting it and having a lot of fun. And a gentleman that Mike worked with was part of that crew. And Mike asked him to put a show together and said, could you guys do an hour on it? And so he went looking and he knocked on my door, and a lady from Texas named Mel, who I still podcast with today when the internet gods are smiling on her in Texas. But he got a group together. As time went by, Mike kind of came in, became a permanent fixture on it. He was on as a regular guest. I believe I called you a bastard a lot in the early days,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I should really get back to that. I just, you know, I think
there's a good callback.
And so we did that, and then because Mel and I were doing our podcast, Nurture and Support, which is a recommendation podcast, she had some internet issues, and so Mike talked to Mike, and we said, hey, we're going to do this little fill in, probably about three shows. Until Nurture and Support gets up and running again. And, geez, I don't know how many episodes later, like a bunch, hundreds.
Yeah, fuck, man.
it started out as Squat Cobbler. We got some not so friendly advice from a number of our listeners that said, dudes, change the name of your podcast. It really sucks. So we did,
Panda. If you don't want to watch adult films of men sitting in pies, I don't know what kind of person you are. That's what I say.
Where are your morals if you don't?
What kind of human are you?
Yeah. Where did you grow up? Because like most people deal with that.
Baby Jesus died so that we could call our podcast Squat Cobbler.
Yeah. So we folded, changed it to Bug Panda. We've been doing that kind of ever since. And then an adjunct to it, of course, is, and I have to mention it, Mike's never bashful about plugging things, so I'm going to plug this. And now with Indie Bog Panda Empire Network on YouTube, Hard No, the world's shortest podcast, is now there with daily episodes, less than a minute each. And that typically...
It's a grower, not a shower.
Yep.
I heard you guys are caught up for a good couple of months.
Yeah, I was telling Jimmy that we knocked out a large quantity of episodes.
Yeah, I started to tucker out. got a little tired there towards the end. That was a lot of questions, but it was good. Mike, shockingly, in a rare instance, Mike put in a lot of work, and he had a ton of questions.
I don't like how you're saying that. I feel like it suggests that I haven't been working hard at this for 10 years.
Well, okay.
We were number one on Amazon.
I will say this. Mike and Pete are the two toughest people to get in touch with when you need to tell them something immediately. Because I'll be like, oh my God, I had this great fucking idea. This is so good. And I'll call and it'll say, the person you're trying to reach is not available. And then Pete's like, hi, I've reached Petey Pidge. And I'm like, yeah. And sometimes I just leave the voicemail. You sons of bitches, answer the phone. I have a fucking great idea. Nothing.
Well, so when Kelly and I started what's now Bog Panda, like he had mentioned, it was a recommendation show. I want to get back to Snarkalic Radio a little bit because that's the 10th anniversary of that. But to give everybody an idea, because now the show has just become a whatever we want to talk about show, which is mostly video games and Alice Cooper. When we were doing recommendations, that we wouldn't tell the other person what we were going to talk about.
Wow.
So we'd each like bring a recommendation for the other person. So what was your favorite recommendation that we did when it was that format, sir?
From you, or the favorite one I gave?
Oh, no. Favorite from me. And then we'll talk about whatever one you did.
So, the, the Commodore Mini, I think, pretty easily on that. That was a 64 Mini was and the limitations of the Mini and the and then your journey through the Commodore Mini to slightly larger type of thing. So that I love that stuff, and I'm in the Commodore camp because I'm a big Amiga guy. So I think that was probably of all of the ones, my favorite.
So not Scooby-Doo?
Not Scooby-Doo, no.
Kelly, can you describe
the movie or the cartoon?
Well, see, Jimmy brings up a good point. Can you describe Scooby-Doo for Jimmy, Kelly?
The show in general that used to be on Saturday morning?
our Scooby-Doo episode.
Our Scooby-Doo. And when you say our, it's yours. It was your episode on that. So it's a couple interesting. One, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. I'm sorry Petey's not here because I wanted to share with him as well. I'm truly enjoying Brutal Dudes. Really look forward to every new episode. Your guys' chemistry is awesome. You're fun to listen to. Love some of the guests you're getting on. They're super interesting. So great job.
I'm going to actually take credit for that, except for you. Because I pretty much am doing all the legwork to get the guests.
Jimmy gets all. See, here you go. Jimmy, this is the deal. Is that our lot in life is to carry Mike. Because that is what. And we'll get no gratitude. For example, allow me to continue. So Mike was correct. We did not tell each other what the recommendations were before. Now, it's interesting watching Brutal Dudes and looking at our stuff, because Mike only has to turn the mic meter up to about 5 to start to get me uncomfortable or off balance. And he gets tons of joy out of it. He gets joy out of making people uncomfortable. I think that's his oxygen. So he has to go about to 5 on the mic meter to go through. Now, on Brutal Dudes, you guys you're made of stronger stuff, you know? And so he's got to dial it up. And there are times when he almost gets uncomfortable, which is just a pleasure to see, but but he's got to keep the mic meter. He's got it pegged at 10 or trying to go to 11. So, but he takes great joy out of making me uncomfortable. And so, we were going to do this one show and he goes, yeah, I'm going to recommend something about Scooby-Doo. And you know, this is really kind of a continuation of the stuff that Mel and I have been doing in Nurture and Support. And so it was like, hey, here's a good recipe. Here's a good book. Here's maybe a good movie you want to see. So Mike rolls in with his Scooby-Doo recommendation, which was Scooby-Doo porn. There was a particular movie. I believe based actually on a certain troop. Go ahead.
Based on a recommendation you had made previously.
On cosplay?
On cosplay, yeah. So it's like cosplay. So I thought I was giving you
okay, that's a stretch. You know, I think that you could try that story, but no. I would say the connection is tenuous at best. But then there was a certain troupe, performing group that was doing a bunch of these, which Michael will remember their name. I don't.
Cosplay Babes.
Cosplay.
Oh Babe. Yeah, they go to the
Jimmy's like, yeah, I know that.
They go to the convent, they go to the Rhode Island Comic Con and shit. They're all over the place. Yes. Cosplay Babes always announce stuff, and I'm like, no shit. I don't think they like do stuff. Like, I don't, you know, it's not like fucking Iron Man fisting Captain America like at the convention, but I mean they like,
well, now I'm not going.
But I mean that's, you know, they could. It'd have to be sanctioned, you know.
You know, those the Philly Comic Con sound a little different than the ones I go to.
This one's in Rhode Island, so it's a, you know, it's a little up on the side.
Okay,
them New Englanders are weird.
So he made that recommendation, and then followed up nearly incessantly around. Well, have you watched it? Have you? You know, he really wanted me to report back. On these items.
Seems natural. Like, I'm making a recommendation of something I thought you'd enjoy.
Yeah. That's I'm sure that's what you thought. So
I had a similar thing happen when somebody told me about the Avengers porn with China as She-Hulk. Doesn't go like you think it would go.
No.
You'd think it would be like, you know, your typical, you know, superheroes having sex, and
right,
it kind of gets a little weird. she does weird stuff with weird things. And I'm like, this is China from WWF? Like the man looking lady that like all of a sudden looked like a lady about a year into her tenure. And yeah, green paint, weird shit with Thor's hammer.
Are you familiar with this?
Craziness.
So I'm still trying to work my way through the shock that marrying the Avengers to porn, that there'd be weird things in it.
Yeah, right.
Really? You think maybe? I'm not familiar.
It's worth looking. I think that's what I miss from porn, if we're being honest, in general.
The Avengers?
Yeah, yes. there's no good stories. And I know that some people are like, well, I don't need a story, but like, I do.
Well, see, that was the thing with my recommendation to Kelly, because I wanted to do, and Kelly can confirm this, it was a completely clean episode.
Yeah.
I was able to describe what happened without using any sort of potential.
It's pretty fantastic, but you do have that ability because you talked to us about cruising.
Yeah.
And didn't illicitly say anything that happened.
The movie Cruising.
Not when I go cruising.
The movie Cruising.
You talked about when you went cruising in San Antonio.
That's how we're playing it tonight.
People were calling you Tim Duncan because you were a Spur. I don't know what that means in Texas draw, but it sounded dirty.
I would argue, though, and Kelly can back me up on this, I think I'm pretty clean on our shows.
Yeah, you only shut my channel down once. So let's go back to channel shut down once, or at least ability to publish. And then one episode that Google took commando action on.
Yeah.
And deleted it.
That was hard now. Yep. Yeah, that was with our good friend Christian, who was actually the first guest on what's now Bog Panda, and Kelly had to censor that episode, not because of anything I said.
Right. I think you told me this story.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Kelly, do you remember what was
Do I remember what got my channel bounced the last time?
No. The very first episode we had Christian on.
Oh, I absolutely remember that, because Christian got pissed at me afterwards.
Well, he felt like he was being censored.
He was. He needed to be. He was talking about people sucking horse cock.
That's fair. Do you ever see those videos?
To be fair, though, Kelly was like, What have you watched on YouTube lately, or something like that? Or what have you watched online lately? And I mean, he told the truth.
Yep. Yeah. It was at the tail end of the episode. Hey, you got any social media recommendations?
Oh, that's what it was. Sure, yeah, it was social media.
Oh, the lady with the horse. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, it was a guy.
Oh, it was a guy.
Yeah.
There's a lady that gets banged by a horse on one video, and it's weird.
Kelly, have you seen this?
It's weird. It's one of those, like, so I have this tick, and we've talked about this before again, but I have this tick where I can't not know how a story progresses, right? So, like, if
I know about that, but the fact that you're flying into it.
But here's, like, I'm going to get to it.
Watching, it was weird.
I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. So, like the Sandlot, right? Like, I have to watch all five Sandlots that are there because I need to know what happens to any character that's involved in the fifth one. I'll watch all those shitty Home Alones just because I want to know what happens to the characters, because they always make a thing. Like, I had a thing for a long time, and I'm still trying to break myself of the habit, where I was watching every Power Rangers as they get progressively worse, because later in some of the seasons, they bring guest appearances back. Like, they do an all Red Ranger episode with all the Red Rangers from the original show on, and they do an episode together. And I'm like, I want to know where these characters end up. That being said, sometimes people will bring up videos where I'll just be like, that can't be. And they'll be like, no, this happened. And I'll be like, no, it didn't. And then I'll have to watch the video for myself just to be like, wow, that's a legitimate thing. I didn't think this was a real thing. So when that video came out, I was like, that's fake. That's CGI. And then my friend was like, no, there's a whole genre of video where animals fuck ladies. And I'm like, no, there's not. This is all CGI. And then I watched a Great Dane bang its owner, and I was done. I was like, that's enough.
What did you think the CGI budget?
Anybody can make anything CGI, dude. I could do a McDonald's commercial that's not sanctioned by McDonald's.
Marvel Studios was clearly behind this.
Yeah, well, I mean, but did you see the second Wakanda movie? The digital effects in that were terrible. You telling me you can't just superimpose a lady with a horse cock in her mouth? That's totally doable.
So I'm trying to work on the math here. So, Jimmy, are you saying that the reason the Wakanda CGI was crappy is because Industrial Light Magic was busy on horsecock CGI?
I mean,
is that the theory?
I mean, look, it's too soon since the movie came out to know, but like eventually there's going to be a behind the scenes.
You think that's a Blu-ray
feature? That's a featurette, right? What kept ILM from doing this the right way? And they were like,
hey, we were really busy.
There's this Great Dane that was banging this lady, and we couldn't get it grainy enough to look real. So we had to just keep dusting the screen, which stopped us from making Namor's appearance as impactful as it should have been, which is a travesty in itself because he should have been brought in a way better light with an actor that can actually not sound like he's got marbles in his mouth.
I haven't seen the movie. So Kelly, do you want to weigh in on that?
I'd agree. It could have been done better. It could have been done a lot better. I'm just trying to figure out if dusting the screen's code for something or not.
Got to get that green in so you scrub the film.
Scrub the film.
Splice it and then scrub it.
I've been dusting the screen for years.
That's a t-shirt.
I use Pledge. Splurt it right on. But I felt like they totally botched his entrance into the movies. He's such a strong character, and you could have done it a million better ways. And it's like, oh, let's make him a secondary character to the Black Panther's little sister. I was like, yeah, come on.
I mean, the best MCU movie, in my opinion, Howard the Duck, obviously.
Oh, yeah, dude. You didn't like Man-Thing?
I did.
I loved that. I thought that was great.
That was honestly, joking aside, a good movie. I actually do really like Howard the Duck, though.
Yes, I like Howard the Duck, too, except for Tim Robbins, because I have this thing with Tim Robbins. Yeah. He's either fantastically weird, or he's so eccentrically weird that he's stupid. So, like, a good example is, like, him in Bull Durham. He's great in Bull Durham.
I forgot about that movie. It's been so long.
He's great in Bull Durham as Lelouch, the pitcher. Great. Totally like what a pitcher should be. But then you have him in War of the Worlds and you're like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Are you doing Doc? Are you doing, I didn't like it either, but are you doing Doc Brown on coke? Cause that's what he was like. And I was like, I don't like that at all. Like, that's a terrible way to be. Howard the Duck. It's campy. So it's supposed to be that way.
I don't really like him as an actor. I don't know where you fall in Tim Robbins, Kelly, but the only movie of his where I really thought like he was a vital part of the movie.
Shawshank.
No, I actually wasn't even going to say that. I do like Shawshank, but I feel like it was really strong material.
Yeah. You could have put him in anybody in that role, and they would have been a really good
movie. Not to take away from his performance, but I feel like the movie would have still held up.
I'll say this,
Jacob's Ladder.
I was going to say Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. I love that movie.
Your thoughts on Jacob's Ladder, Kelly?
Thoughts on Tim Robbins first. Let's keep things in order. So Bull Durham, I'd buy into Bull Durham is certainly a fun one. Him. I am still, I'm a huge fan of Tapeheads, and I thought he was excellent in Tapeheads. And
I
don't
think I've ever seen that, but I've heard of it.
Oh, that is worth the price of admission, my friend. You need to check that one out.
Yeah, I got a list. Mike keeps, every time I talk to Mike about movies, he's like, hey, have you ever seen this one? And I'm like, the only one I ever get him with is, did you ever see Spaced Invaders?
I've heard of that.
Early 90s schlock. I tell him all the time, it's when I was taping movies off of ABC. And I would tape like Back to the Future 2 and 3 with the edited in parts so that they could fill in the time slot. They used to do the same thing with Encino Man. There's like an extra two scenes that they put in so they could fit the time slot
for the TV.
Yeah. And I would tape them, and then I would edit them with two VCRs so that the commercials weren't there. But then I started appreciating like 10 years on commercials from 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, I'm just leaving it. Yeah, I'm just, you could just fast forward through them. And it's like, I was like, ah, this is cool. But Space Invaders was one of those movies. And it was like, there was that. There was, what's the one with Christine? Did we talk about this? What's the one with Christina Applegate where she's the roach?
Oh.
Is it Meet the Applegates?
Applegates,
yeah. Where they're the roaches. It's like a TV movie. They're nuclear roaches that got exposed to nuclear radiation. So they try and cause a nuclear holocaust because they'll know they'll survive, but they take the form of humans. It's like a really weird movie, but I remember seeing it and being like, this is like cool.
Yeah, kind of in that whole genre. And I have to back him on this. Mike pulled my Blue Oyster Cult fan card, took it away from me because I was unfamiliar with bad channels. And that's another fantastic movie that has tons of Blue Oyster Cult involvement, and I somehow knew nothing about it.
Every once in a while, that'll happen. I'll have that happen to me. I'm trying to think of the last time it did. It just recently happened, and I'm like, I had no idea they were a part of this. Oh, it was Rockwell, Sam Rockwell. When he was in Ninja Turtles, when I found out he was in
Ninja Turtles. Rockwell, star of Ninja Turtles.
Star of Ninja Turtles 1.
Alongside Elias Koteas.
Yeah.
Children's movie actors, Sam Rockwell and Elias Koteas.
But, I was like, oh, dude, that's Sam Rockwell. And, I told you, in Back to the Future, in The Wizard, in the, where Lucas's gang is at the video game championships, Elijah Wood is one of his gang members.
I got to rewatch The Wizard.
Yeah, it's where he's like, dude, where they're running through the King Kong thing, and it's like totally a fucking ad for Universal Studios. Oh, yeah. And then at the end of
the whole movie's a commercial.
Then the end of the movie, it's like, but it's such a good movie.
It's a good commercial.
Yeah. I'm like, I was like, I said that the other day. I was talking about it the other day. They're like, it's such a commercial movie. And I'm like, so what? It's so good.
Did you guys have either of you ever watched the show Bones?
No, the one with David Boreanaz.
Correct. Yeah,
you know that his dad is the weatherman.
Yes,
from around here.
I did know that. Kelly, are you familiar at all?
So I'm having just a little bit of a hard time hearing you. You're a lot softer than Jimmy. Just so you know, I mean, we knew that.
That's true. That's true in all respects.
Also, your microphone's not loud enough.
I am the hardest of the brutal dudes.
It's true. Clearly. It's true. Is my touch still as soft?
I have a question for Soft Jimmy here. That's what we'll call Mike from now on. Soft Jimmy.
Soft Mike. So are you familiar with the show Bones, sir?
Yeah, I passingly. So I've seen a couple episodes. I don't rush to change the channel or jump off of it when it's on, but yeah.
It's got that generic girl in it, too, that looks like Calista Flockhart bred with like six other random skinny actresses, and then they're all like, they all Angie Harmon
in there, I think.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was it was on Hulu, and I was watching a couple episodes on there, and the product placement, so talking about like commercial stuff, is the most egregious I have literally ever seen. And I've seen the Pizza Hut movie.
Ooh.
And this is the most egregious product placement I have ever seen. And the Pizza Hut movie is rough.
Did you see the Cheetos, the Flamin' Hot Cheetos movie? No, that's out now.
I haven't watched that yet. It's literally like, and it's cars. So like, obviously the show is paid for by this car company. I don't remember which one, but say it's like Honda, because that's just the first one that popped into my head. So they'll get into a car and they'll be like, this is a nice car. What is this? And the other character will turn and be like, it's the Honda, blah, blah, blah. It was released this year, but you can tell from the four-wheel drive that it's a forward-thinking vehicle. Like, they're just reading ad copy. It is crazy.
Did you watch Heroes?
Yes.
Yeah. So they do a similar thing. Only the first season. They do a similar thing in Heroes. When the Asian dude says Nissan Versa, that's his like catchphrase. He's like, Nissan Versa, and like they drive a Nissan Versa the whole time.
Nice.
And like when I went to go get a car after I watched Heroes, I was like, I wonder if they have any Nissan Versas here. And I was looking around, and I was like, why do I want a Nissan Versa so bad? And I'm like, nope, I don't want one. It's too tiny cars aren't good for fat people unless you're a clown.
there's a movie called The Pool, which was paid for by Pizza Hut, and it's about a guy who gets stuck in a pool with an alligator.
He gets stuck
in the pool. So he's on a photo shoot in like an Olympic like swimming pool. He falls asleep on a raft when they start draining the pool. So by the time he wakes up, it's too far down for him to get out of the pool, and an alligator gets into the pool. So throughout the movie, he's just like, I have to get out of here and get a Pizza Hut pizza. Their pepperoni is so delicious. Like, he just, the characters just constantly reference Pizza Hut.
All I want is a Pizza Hut pizza. All I want is the ultimate deep dish.
Yeah, and it's still not as bad as Bones, because you could just be like, this is brand loyalty. That's what it is.
Yeah. I don't, do they even, other than Nintendo, I don't think they blatantly say anything about, like, NES and Wizard, other than the Power Glove. I mean, that was a scene, but it, like, it's done well. Like, they introduce it like it's this powerful. And the Power Glove fucking blew, by the way.
Did you have a Power Glove, Kelly?
Any glove I have is a Power Glove, Mike.
That's fair.
Nice. So, yeah, soft mic. You don't know what it's like to have Power Gloves.
No, I made the jump from the Atari 2600 into the Amiga, and so I kind of skipped a lot of the console stuff at that.
That was one of the most depressing. I felt so bad, right? Because so my grandparents, when I was a kid, I didn't need a lot of like presents. I wasn't one of those kids that like was like a materialistic, like it was nice to get them, but like I didn't need them. But like when I was growing up, like everybody had a Nintendo. So my parents and my grandparents would like coordinate so that they didn't get the same thing. So you didn't have two Nintendos.
That makes sense.
Like, so what happened was the 1 year I got a Nintendo from my grandma. And then that same year, my other grandparents they got on a waiting list for Super Mario Brothers 3. So I got it when it came out and I got a Nintendo. And then the next year, my grandparents didn't know what to get me for my birthday because I had a Nintendo and I was like pretty much happy with what I had. So my grandma went and got me a Power Glove, and she was super excited about getting me a Power Glove because it was in the movie and they talk about it. And you think, this is going to be so rad. I can drive a car like this with my hand and that's going to be driving. Like, you really want it to be nowadays virtual reality. It's not that at all. It is fucking lame. You have to put
strapped to your hand.
You no, not even that. That's yes, but it's like you put it on the TV, right? You have to hang the receivers on the TV with Velcro. So every time you use this thing, you have a fucking harness that has to go on your television.
Yeah.
Then you get the glove on and you know it fits, but it's not comfortable at all. And in order to do regular moves for regular games, like, you know, and I obviously this is oversimplifying it, but like, you think if you went like that, that would make a guy walk, right? No, you have to put like fucking sign language. You have to do like hand motions like crazy, like you're fucking signaling a plane, or you're like telling a dude to steal third when he like from the dugout, like you're throwing hand signals like a fucking pitching combination from the 70s.
They also had a thing, and it only worked. I think it was Punch Out, and maybe Punch Out in one other game. They had motion controls for the NES,
yeah,
but it was like a box, and you would punch into the box.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a failed experiment. But this was like, and it was honestly, and I felt so bad because my grandparents, obviously they spent a decent amount of money on it, and they were so excited to give it to me. And I think I actually played a game with it twice, and then I was like, this fucking sucks. I was more excited that I got stickers in my Nintendo Power.
So throw it back at them. Like, thanks, Grandma.
No, I kept it in a box with my toys, so it looked like I played with it a lot, and it would just be my action figures on top of the Power Glove. And then like occasionally I would use it, like if we were playing, you know, some kind of imaginary, like we were, my uncle had a green Pinto that was dead in his driveway. And we used to pretend it was a time machine. And that was, so we would get in the car and then kick it in, and then we would get out of the car and we would be in prehistoric times. But I would have this fucking advanced glove that could like tell us stuff that it needed to tell us. And I would use it for that more than I used it to actually play Nintendo games. So it was fun, but it was like, I felt really bad that I wasn't using it. And I had a lot of guilt because they were really excited about getting me this gift. And it was like one of the lamest letdown things that I've ever gotten as a present. And I was just like, this is fucking terrible. Like this is the worst. I was more excited about the stickers they gave you in Nintendo Power to put on your controller than I was about playing with the power glove. And then, of course, because my parents are my parents, they're like, oh, why don't you go use your power glove? And I was like, it sucks. And they were like, you shouldn't say that. Your grandparents paid a lot of money for that. I'm like, that doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
Kelly, is there anything you regret from your childhood?
Gosh, I think we've covered it on previous shows, so I don't hate to rehash much on that. I think probably just I think I shared the story before that where I grew up in a big Amish community, and so one summer I worked in a lumberyard with a gentleman who was Amish who
and you burned their church down
was on the spectrum or had some issues because there's a lot of pretty
so just Amish.
Just Amish, a lot of not branching out going on in the Amish world.
Did you pick a picture and steal his soul?
Nope, did not. Thought about it, but I did bring a radio playing devil music.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, Bonnie Tyler's It's a Heartache comes on, and I go, I hate this song, I had a rock. And one of the rare instances of me being able to throw a projectile with effectiveness, I threw it at my radio from a good, I don't know, 30 feet, pegged it dead on. The whole radio exploded. And then the Leroy, my coworker in the lumberyard, pretty much sure thought he was working with Satan at that point in time. So,
is it also
I regret scaring Leroy.
I am Satan.
I think that was probably a piece of it.
Leroy, I am the bull god.
But if Leroy's listening, which he's not because he's Amish, I'd apologize to Leroy.
He could have given it all up by now.
Raise a barn in my honor.
That's right.
He was out somewhere. Somebody had a Cosplay Babes video on their phone. Leroy's living a whole different life now.
Yeah, Amish is cosplay, isn't it? It doesn't matter. Cosplay is just whenever you dress up, right?
True. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be specifics.
Yeah, I think the Amish cosplay genre is limited.
Yeah, you never know, man. You get to the right part of Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's a fetish. Somebody hiding underneath the buggy while the horse shits while he's driving, and then he's looking up the girl's skirts and just seeing giant Amish bush.
This is a really specific story.
So one time, no, I'm just kidding. There's a funny video from Death from Above 1979. It's called Virgins, and the video is in the middle of the night. These Amish kids sneak away, and there's this like crazy rave party orgy going on of all Amish people. And I love the video because it just cracks me up, because I was like, I always thought that that's how Amish get down.
Yeah.
And I refuse to believe there's any other way. They like, you can tell me that the movie Witness is a true story, but I don't believe that for a second. I believe if Harrison Ford showed up in an Amish community, that all of those ladies would be gushing over him. Like, they would have to put up a dam from all the gushing Amish ladies to stop the water from flowing. If Harrison Ford showed up, this belongs in a museum.
So, other than hating the Amish as a younger man, what do you think has led you to your life now as a podcaster?
Mike, you're being soft, Jimmy, again. I'm going to have to ask you to speak up.
What, other than hating the Amish as a child, what led you to your life now as a podcaster?
So sadly, this really hurts to say, but I mean, you play a significant role in terms of getting that first show on and going. And so that ended up being fun. And it was Tony, who was the guy that kind of did the grouping of the initial group for Snarkalic Radio at Mike's request. He just kind of called me out of the blue, or emailed me out of the blue saying, hey, you want to do this thing? I had never done anything like it before. But I was like, sure. I mean, cause it was a topic I love talking about. And then just kind of rolling on there, but it's been a good path. And I mean, it's interesting in that it became a path because, you know, this is back when Twitter was run by competent human beings and things. Twitter allowed us to connect with all of these really cool people. So like Rebecca Kennedy, we're connected to her now, Terry Ivins, Christina Bach from Three-Headed Shark Attack. And so we were able to connect with all these people. And so
the also, ability don't to kinda, forget Nicole Bilderbach.
Nikki Bilderbach. Well, she came, Gerald brought Nikki into our orbit. So Gerald was our connection there. But yeah, your alleged ex-wife, Mike, is that where we're going? Do you want to get that
I
in?
Don't remember a divorce.
Yeah, she does. She seems real clear on it. Super clear. Actually, I think it was an annulment because there was something about things weren't consummated. So I just saying.
Kelly's been stalking my wife, Nicole Bilderbach.
It sounds like
for quite some
time. That sounds like a perfect opportunity for an Amish cosplay if it's not consummated. You can have a ceremony and a barn raising thing and everything. Churn butter. That's what you do. You churn butter together when you're Amish. You don't have sex.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah.
Kelly was actually at my actual wedding, and the minister immediately forgot that Kelly was there.
Yeah. Bastard. Yeah, he doubled down on it too. And I had like two people vouching, saying, yes, he was there. I'm telling the guy he was there. And he was not budging. He's like, no, you weren't there. You weren't there. And it wasn't like there was a huge crowd there. It was I think he could have got me. I think he could have seen me. But I guess he just didn't want me there because he had blacked it out.
Yeah, it was a very small ceremony.
That was the early days of the podcast, of our podcast, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was a very small ceremony. Kelly was one of the few people who was invited. Because it was just immediate family and a couple of friends. So I invited Kelly. He was kind enough to fly out for it. When we were there, my friend Will, he's the pastor of a church. He officiated the ceremony. Again, there's three people in the audience watching this who aren't on the altar. And we go out to dinner, and then we went on a hayride with Will. And Will introduces himself to Kelly. And Kelly's like, oh, I was there at the wedding. He's like, no, you weren't. And as Kelly mentioned, he even doubled down on it. He's like, no, I saw everyone who was there. You were not there.
I'm a damn minister. I would know. Yeah. I hadn't done enough mule work yet for you to be included into the wedding. My back hadn't broken yet to where you had to pay to heal me up. So we were still early on.
Yeah, it was only wedding I've been to that included a hayride through a haunted forest, and chainsaws were involved, yes. Which just to me is pretty awesome. It's so pretty.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but best wedding I've had.
It gets at least 8 stars in my weddings.
Yeah, it was
overall.
But you know the downside is you get on the hayride through the haunted forest, and before you know this Will guy who I'm still pissed at because he just is denying my existence. He's like, yeah, you guys are gonna really like it. You know, make sure there's a piece of plastic in there you can pull up over yourself when you get to some sections because you know there may be a little bit of stuff flying at you. And we came kind of from Mike's wedding, so. I'm still in a jacket, and I'm not really looking.
You weren't expecting to be sprayed with fake blood at my wedding, is what you're saying?
No, that was Well, actually, I mean, it wasn't a shock, but but it just at the time, I guess I hadn't connected the dots that I could get sprayed with pig bloods at Mike's wedding, and sure enough, he's saying yeah, and kind of he doubled down on make sure you know where those tarps are at and stuff like that, so.
Even nice you, enough, stranger.
I know you're new to the group, but make sure that you cover yourself up.
This new guy.
Mike, so. Mike, who's this weird guy that's just coming to your wedding in a jacket?
Yeah. Yeah. And pretty much Mike started to deny knowing me anyway at that point. Because that's what Mike would do.
That reminds me of a fun haunted story that I don't know if I've ever told on the podcast. This may be the premiere of this story because this is one of my favorite stories.
Nice.
So it was early days when we first started the fraternity, and we had to do, you get teamed up with a sorority, and you have to fundraise together, and then they're your team sorority for Greek Week, which is a bunch of events that you do, and you try and win, you get points, and then you get ranked. you do all, it's like tug of war and you do, you know, weird shit. There's a,
you didn't beat the sorority in tug of war?
No, you didn't beat them. You're there. You're on your team. So you go up against other fraternities and sororities and you do the thing. So we had to group together. So we had to, it's called canning. You go into the, into a street, firefighters do it. They get the boots and you put the money in. We didn't have, I don't know what our thing was. It was like the Easter Seals or something that we were raising money for, but I didn't know what they were doing. So
I have a feeling if you Google canning, something else is going to happen.
Yes, totally. So you get like a bucket and you walk up and down when there's red lights, you walk in the middle of the road, which is super dangerous.
Yeah.
And you go to a busy intersection and you get money. So we had a certain amount of money that we had to raise by the end of the day. And I was tired of walking because it was early in the morning. And I was like, we need to speed this up. What's a good way we can speed this up? And my friend Coco, thinking he was being funny, was like, we should say it's something more extreme than it is. I was like, well, what are we doing this for? And they're like, well, Easter Seals. I was like, well, what is that? And they're like, we don't know. And I was like, okay, kids with AIDS. So I started walking up and down the street being like, money for kids with AIDS. Please donate, kids with AIDS, kids with AIDS. And I would like knock on people's windows and be like, kids with AIDS, we're collecting money. By like, I was literally screaming it up and down the streets, and Coco thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world. We ended up getting money by like noon. We were supposed to candle like 6 o'clock. By noon, we had what we needed. So we were like, we're good. We actually are like $100 over what we needed to get. So then the plan was to meet up afterwards and go to a haunted hayride, which in Westchester area, there's a lot of them.
Wait, does this involve the ghosts of kids with AIDS?
No. This is even better. So at the time, I was very much
even better than kids with AIDS. Like,
yes, you're gonna crack up. I'm telling you, it still makes me laugh to this day that this is what happened. So the first thing they do is they're like, well, you can go on a hayride, but then there's this haunted maze that you can go through. And I'm like, what's a haunted maze? Mazes are stupid anyway. Like, I don't think you need to haunt them to piss me off with a maze. And they're like, well, you go through the maze and then you get to this cabin and it's like a thing. I was like, all right, cool, we'll do this. So it's me and my friend Sean, and there's about 4 or 5 sorority girls that are with us that we had just met that night. We're going through the maze and they're like, they, you know, I'm loud and go figure, I'm loud and outspoken. So like, they knew my name of all the people that were in the fraternity. Mm-hmm. Of the 30 of us, there's like 5 guys that they knew their names because we were, you know, the idiots. So we're walking through this maze and we get to this door at a certain point where you go into this cabin, and I'm shaking, I can't get through. It won't open. But it didn't seem like it was like not supposed to open. It seemed like it was just stuck, but I didn't want to like mess with it because I didn't want to break anything, right? So I'm shaking it and the girls are like, well, where do we go from here? Because it's like a dead end in the maze. And Sean's like, I don't know, we can't get in. So Sean's smaller than me, so he's like trying to like elbow it in. I was like, he's like, it's not working. And I was like, fuck this. So I lean back and I walk forward 2 steps and I kick the door as hard as I can, right? Like fucking NYPD style. And fucking, I guess there was a guy behind it holding the door it was his time to step back and jump out and scare us when we opened the door. But I kicked the door so hard that it hit him in the fucking head. And all you hear is, thunk, oh, fuck. And the guy falls down. His mask falls off. He looks at us as we're walking by. He's like holding his head and he goes, ah! And I'm like, dude, you lost it, man. It's over. So we're literally walking through the rest of the cabin and everyone else that's an actor in the cabin is like, either laughing or like pissed off that we kicked the door in. And I was like, I couldn't get it open. Like, what are you supposed to do at that point? We're stuck at a dead end. Like, we could have been there all night. They're like, you could have just, if it was that dire, gone through the hay that was blocking you through. And I was like, I didn't want to ruin the ambiance. And then here's this guy fucking just reeling on the ground, just rolling with his hand on his head. Like, and Sean, for years, Sean was like, dude, I can't believe you kicked that guy in the head. That was so awesome. And then they were like, there's another part where you have to crawl through like a crawl space because a guy jumps out. I was like, bro, it's not going to work for me. I'm just going to walk out the door. And I didn't even go through the crawl space. Like, I didn't even try. I just was like, is that the exit? And the guy was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave there. And I walked out like the main exit. And then all my frat brothers that didn't go in with us were like, why did you come out of the employee exit? I was like, I'm not going through the fireplace. Sorry, that's not going to work.
Someone?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going through the fireplace. It's not going to work. I said, I already fucking Andre the Giant big booted the guy. I think I've done enough damage.
I think the best part of that story is that actor did have a kid with AIDS. who couldn't get help because when he went with the Kids with AIDS charity, they're like, dude, they said they already gave, you know? And so, so it was, you know, it was a very all tied together.
He's like, I'm going to allow this because my kids have AIDS and you saved him. Any other time, if somebody kicked me in the head, I'd beat the shit out of him.
Well, Kelly, I guess thank you for not assaulting anybody on the hayride.
That's what I do, is not assault people. So happy to continue doing that.